Hello, hello. Thank you again for joining me in the CTO studio. I am your host, Nikolai Walker. We are continuing our conversation with Casey Kleindienst, who is the Director of Supply Chain Management. Now, I want to toss this question over to Etienne, actually, as opposed to Casey, to kind of start off this interview. My question is, since we spoke briefly about contentious conversations in the last episode, can you expound on this, please? Can the CTO actually be the naysayer or the no guy?
Yeah, this just brings me back to the contentious conversation and it's usually contentious because the CTO has to tell the CEO, no, it's not that simple. No, it's not just an upgrade project. No, it's not. No, I know you made $1 million off of this revenues off of this approach, and now you want to upgrade the process so that the quality increases or there's more features. No, it's not the same project. You're talking about an increase in complexity that doesn't just get solved by doubling your dev team, that conversation is damn hard and it's not fun. Because you have to walk in and say to the CEO, I hate to be that person, but it's not gonna. What you think you hired me for is actually multiply that by 5 or 6. That's how long this is gonna take, or that's how much harder this is gonna be, or that's how much more money this is gonna take.
Wouldn't a thinking CEO that this product has more value, and so it's going to have a positive impact in the business?
Well, I think 1 out of 100 CEOs might see it that way. 99 of them are going to say, dude, this is technology. It's supposed to be, I've been conditioned to think that this is easier. This is a commodity. If I spend X dollars, I should be getting Y out of this. That's the problem is that there's this expectation that things are just going to work if I just... And so the first thing I see founders say is I want to double my engineering team. I just have to throw more bodies at this, which now gets us into the mythical man month or mythical man hour situation. I like to tell people what any developer can do in 1 hour, 2 developers can do in 2 hours. You need to be okay with being just... The baddie, the perceived baddie. Now, we both know that you're saving the company from doom. If I'm doing my job right as a CTO, and then that goes both ways. I have to be able to be open to being stretched. I often say my CEOs have brought the best out in me because I've often said, no, this can't be done. And then I try it, and then yes, it can be done. So there's that dichotomy as well. So I'm saying it's not great to have to resist the CEOs or the stakeholders' push for time and delivery when the complexity makes it almost impossible to give you that time.
So where do they get the idea that that's possible? If you've never been able, or any CTO's never been able to demonstrate it, and when he quotes a time, that's how long it takes. Where's the CEO coming up with what the standard is?
That's why I think it's because time is the only truth in the universe. Time is the only thing that we know we're going to have. And then therefore, you build this whole cost structure on top of it. Because that's the only thing that I can use to predict. I know that tomorrow is going to be Thursday. I know nothing in the universe can stop that unless the universe stops it, okay, with destroying the planet. So that's the only 100% predictor, right? So now I build cost structure on it where I say, okay, I'm going to pay you $50 an hour to work for me. Because I know that if you work 8 hours, I owe you $400. So that's perfect. But now, how long is it going to take to get things done? Because I need to know how much I'm going to pay you, because I need to build budgets, because I need to earn revenues.
Is there a measurable return on investment when the product's finished? is it internal? Is it internal operating systems, or is it it's a product you're selling? Because if there's an ROI, then you argue from the ROI and not just the cost of the resource. It's like, or the time, because time is money. If time's an issue, start earlier.
But for instance, let's say I'm going to take a long trip. I'm going to drive from here, from the West Coast to the East Coast. And my wife says to me, well, how long is it going to take for us to get ready to go? I'm like, well, I can go now. Let's just get in the car right now. Okay, well, now we didn't pack. She's like, no, hang on. We need to pack. We need to call a few people. Okay, it's going to take about a day for us to prepare to go. Great. We jump in the car after a day and off we go. We drive. Well, I didn't take the time to ask, well, do I need to look at my tires? Do I need to look at a couple maintenance issues on my vehicle? You know, so now what's the ROI on the investment that I said to Kath, actually, you know what, it's going to take a week before we can go because I need to take my vehicle to the shop to get it checked out. So the ROI of me getting the vehicle checked out is that a possible blowout didn't happen along the drive. So it's almost impossible to calculate because it never happened. The reverse ROI of not making the investment is very easy to calculate because we had a blowout. Thankfully, we survived it, but now we spent $5,000 on delays and hotels and new vehicle, blah, blah, blah. So that's an easy one to calculate.
Well, it sounds to me almost like you're writing maintenance code. Is that right?
Well, so there's this concept called technical debt which CTOs are always having to budget for, but CEOs rarely understand, which is, put in its simplest form, and I'm talking about startups, so I'm not talking about the large enterprise, you know, has delicious buffers for this. But you go from saying, hey, I'm going to deliver this business value to you after this sprint, after every sprint, to saying, hey, you're going to hear crickets from us for a month. You're going to be paying, but you're not going to see tangible fixes. But we would have gone and taken our vehicle for a full inspection and upgraded all the different parts that were necessary so that in case, whether it's security, scale, code base, we are protected against those.
So then it begs the question, when do you reveal that to the CEO?
Those are unpredictable, right? But if you know you have to do what the organization might view as unproductive work to keep the system running, then you get to reveal that in the annual budget.
So I think that's where the expertise comes in, the expertise of the CTO, the experience of the software development team. I think what I'm trying to land here is just there is a incessant desire there's an incessant desire from stakeholders, founders, CEOs who started the company with their own raised money or their own piggy banks, to know from CTO types or their development teams how long it's going to take to get something done so that they can do their projected cost, so that they can understand when they're going to get their ROIs. But you're dealing with a building blocks that are just not bricks and cement. We're still shaping the bricks and we're still deciding what to make the bricks out of. So that's just sad for me in a way, and it just makes, I think, the CTO's job that much harder, especially if you have a CTO, which the most of them have just sort of worked their ways up through the ranks of being software developers who were all too happy to close out tickets, build, do take the time to get things done, to now being on the other side of, now I've got to fight with my management because they want it done faster and we can only get it done slower.
Well, yeah, you know, a new set of skills are going to have to come into play that weren't necessary in, you know, in the previous position or previous role. Like a salesman, a super salesman becoming an awful sales manager. They're completely different requirements. How do you, if you're saying I need a businessman, you know, and, as a CTO, I need a businessman. I need someone that understands all the language and, you know, and can sell costs.
I sometimes think that the CTO is really a person who is actually just an entrepreneur who loves and has built technology. So there's that sales and marketing component, because you have to sell ideas, you have to communicate, you have to show what is possible, you have to say, hey, it's going to suck for the next month or two, but you know what, this is what we're chasing, and this is why keep investing. I'm assuming the great entrepreneurs are doing this all the time to their investors, right? Give us this $50 million because this is how we're changing the world. And with CTOs, it's the same thing. You have to be able to make, you've got to be able to show the vision. You have to be able to show the sacrifice that's going to be made to get to that vision. And then you're going to have to translate that into actionable, week-to-week, measurable activities.
Thanks again for joining us here in the CTO studio, and thank you to our guest, Casey Kleindienst, who is the director at Supply Chain Management and is currently a professor at Cal State Fullerton. Please go check out his LinkedIn for more great information and his orthogonal thinking. If you would please subscribe to the podcast here in iTunes, and do check out 7 CTOs, and we will see you next time with another interview from Mr. Kleindienst.